The next case is 08748, State Exel Paul Perry versus Cincinnati Public Schools. Mr. Wills.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I could reserve 5 minutes of my time.
About your time there.
My name is Ted Wills. I represent Paul Perry, the relator in this case. Mr. Perry made a public records request for ninth grade semester exam from Cincinnati Public Schools. That request was denied. We brought this mandamus action, and the case has been briefed. I'm here then. Yes.
My question is whether or not these are public records.
Yes, we feel that they are public records.
Let me ask you a different question.
Okay.
Is every test issued by every teacher then a public record?
I would say that is going to be a question of fact. And if we would start with the type of test that we have in this case, where it's a standardized test that's distributed to thousands of students.
Well, we know what the facts are here,
yes.
but as we explore the issue of what a public record is, why could not every student submit a public record request for every test they're going to take and get it in advance of the time they take it?
Well, first of all, in this case, we've not asked for tests that have yet to be given. We've only asked for tests that have already been given, and that's consistent with the
Ray
case.
Well, you want to confine it to these facts, and if we write some rule of law that says, oh, here's a test, and it's a public record, it's going to be admitted to or utilized to examine the level of knowledge of those who take it, and we give it out to them in advance of the time that they take it, why couldn't every student in every classroom make the same request and get all their tests before they take them?
Well, because we are only asking for them that have already been disclosed, and that's part of the facts of this case, is that the disclosure has made them public records.
These are tests that have already been taken by the students.
Yes, that's correct. And they've been the same test that's been administered year after year after year.
But they're going to be administered again, are they not?
Oh, yes, that's correct. But I think if I understand your question, you're looking for an issue of whether or not, say, a teacher in a biology class has prepared a test for September 15th, and a student submits a public record request and wants that test in advance. Would that then be a public record and be able to get the test in advance and be able to study for the test? And I would say that would probably not be correct. And I think it's a very simple distinction.
This is a test that they intend to give again. They gave it, the students answer it, they collected it, they put it back under lock and key. Only certain people with codes were allowed access to it. Those are the facts that they're asserting. And yet you want that test. Now, your client claims, I'm only going to use it privately, I'm not going to disseminate it, but that we can't write a rule of law in public records that says you can have something as long as you don't give it to anybody else. So how do we prevent a rule of law, somebody making a public records request against your same fact pattern and then giving it to every student for the next year? And now all those money spent developing that test are wasted.
Well, Your Honor, I can only speak to the facts of this case, and I would say that the facts of this case just square directly with the Ray case, Ray versus Department of Education, where the Department of Education had established standardized tests and intended to continue to give tests out of a bank of questions in the future, and this court held at that time that those tests, once distributed to students for testing, then became public records. And the legislature, subsequent to that, passed the statutes 3301-079 and 3301-0711, saying that these previously administered tests are public records. That's what the legislature has established, and that's the line they have given, previously administered test, and that's what we have asked for in this case.
There was a little difference at the other end here. There was a little difference between that test and this test is a factual matter, right? Because the state proficiency tests, there was a bank of 1,000 questions. So the exact same test was never going to be administered more than during 1 year. This test, as I understand it, while it has been administered, the same test is going to be administered over and over and over. But once it's made available, fully disclosed, doesn't that really destroy its value as a test? So it can no longer be given as a test because it's going to be out in the public domain. But the state proficiency test didn't have that problem because it was going to be essentially a different test each time.
I think, Your Honor, that is one of the very important points that we're making in this case, that by the Cincinnati Public Schools administering the same test over and over again, that they have, in effect, disseminated it and it's become public knowledge. And in fact, what they have done is encourage their teachers to teach to the test, and that, in effect, by the same teachers teaching this test, teaching to the test year after year, and having the same test given to the same general population year after year, it destroys the trade secret status. And we have submitted the affidavit of Dr. DiAgostino, who stated that as a matter of expertise on standardized testing, that when a test is the same test, same question submitted to the same general population year after year, that the security is breached, and that the validity of the test then is destroyed.
So the students in 2009 ought to be able to get a score of 100%. All the students ought to be able to get a score of 100% because they essentially have access to the 2008 test.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that that is not correct. We're saying that if the school determines that they have to give this same test over and over again, if they want it to be a valid test, they have to make some other arrangements, and that's the problem that they have created.
But counsel, that's where you want to go with this. I'm presuming you want to show that this test is invalid in some way. But bringing us back, whatever the conclusion or outcome of the study of the test would be is not exactly what we're concerned with. And my question is, how big does the population that a test is disseminated to, or any document, does that govern in any way what would be considered a public record? Because this test is not universally disseminated. It is a very concrete, discrete group of individuals who are allowed to see this for the specific purpose of taking the test and then giving it back.
Yes, well, but the group of people is thousands. There are thousands of people, and that's the distinction that this court made in the Physicians versus OSU case. And there the court stayed on the ruling of Ray, saying that the distribution of a test to thousands of students destroyed its public, its trade secret status, and made it a public record. And I would say, Your Honor, that I think we're touching on an extremely important point here. We're talking about the pool of people. If we are to say here that these tests are trade secrets, and they cannot be disclosed through the Public Records Act because they're trade secrets, what we are doing is saying that thousands of Cincinnati Public School students and hundreds of Cincinnati Public School teachers will be civilly and criminally liable for violations of the Trade Secret
Act.
That's
a little extreme.
I
don't accept that. You can't give a test without giving it to thousands of kids, but you can do a lot to protect it. As you know, I was a very vigorous dissent in the OSU case. I think it was wrongly decided, and I still think so. But that is not a good argument, because you have to give it to thousands of kids if you're going to give a test. There's no way to avoid that. The question is, what do you do with it afterwards? They don't leave it out there. They don't disseminate it. They put it back under lock and key. Only certain people can get it. That's the distinction, not the fact that you have to give it to 1,000 kids to take it, and they're going to be criminally liable because they saw a test.
Because if they repeated it, then that would be a violation of Trade Secrets Act. And in this case, all and besides this, Your Honor, the Cincinnati Public Schools has distributed the answer grid to a large portion of this test on the internet, and this is a pure violation of a trade secret.
Protected password internet.
No, it is not.
That's disputed, then. We'll have to hear the other side.
It is absolutely not.
Let me ask you, how is this, that we look at the statute, the trade secret statute, and the test that's been developed by this court, you argue that it's been dispensed among hundreds of people, a couple thousand people. How is that, from the standpoint of that part of the test, the distribution, the publication of whatever it is that's attempted to be kept secret, how is it different than, say, Microsoft has a a development that they have within their company, and they distribute it among 1,000 of their employees because they need to have it for some reason? Still a trade secret in Microsoft's situation?
I would say that the difference would be that in a company organization where the distribution was to employees and they would certainly be bound by confidentiality agreements, that would remain a trade secret. But that's not here. We don't have confidentiality agreements, and we have dispersal over the internet, and we have dispersal to students who have no confidentiality.
Dispersal over the internet, not by the public school system.
Yes, by giving the test. And not only giving the test, but teaching to the test during
they
classroom time.
They give the test over the internet?
The answers to for a good portion of the test are posted on the internet, and that is not a password-protected internet site. And those are posted in the record. We have those answers in the record, and those are just publicly accessible.
Counsel, the knowledge that's testing is not a trade secret. The content of these tests, I mean, this is subject matter that is hopefully contained in the school books and, you know, the auxiliary teaching aids and encyclopedias and any other source of knowledge. So that knowledge is not a trade secret.
Well,
you're talking about the configuration and the questions to try and elicit that knowledge from the students who get that knowledge from some other source.
Well, the configuration is for one thing, is, again, distributed through the answer grid on the internet, so that's one aspect of that. And the other thing is that once the students take the test, they are aware of the configuration, and there is no restrictions on them repeating that. And also, the teachers then are encouraged to teach to those tests, and that would go to the configuration.
How are the teachers encouraged to teach to those tests if they're allowed to see the test for a very limited time, to distribute it to the kids to take the test, and they've got to give the test back? And what do we say? How many questions on this test?
There are 40 or more.
Okay, so are you saying the teachers in some way identify all 40 questions and then teach to
yes.
the 40 questions?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And that is exactly the problem that we are trying to address, is that by having this repeated in this general population, that the teachers who are aware of the test and teach to this test year after year are disclosing the
are
contest.
Are they aware
and
of the subject matters that, of course, are part of the curriculum for the ninth grade, the eighth grade, whatever? That doesn't change in a unique fashion. All kids in the ninth grade in Ohio have a certain curriculum that they've got to deal with. All teachers have to teach that curriculum.
Well, yes, but it still is true that the teachers are aware of the test. They grade the tests. They're encouraged by their administrators to teach to the test, and that includes not just the knowledge on the test, but the configuration of test, and that is another aspect.
Mr. Will,
aspect. Yes.
Let me take you back to where I started with public records. As I look at Section 149, it says, a public records, if they are documents created or received by an office which document the organization, its functions, policies, decisions. How do these tests document any policy or function of the office. They don't do that. They get data that will then document that so many percent of the students are able to function in this percentile. They're a testing mechanism. They're not documents created to document the organization or its functions or its policies.
Your Honor, that I is
help me get to
contrary.
Why this is a public record.
It's completely contrary to the holding of Ray versus Wallace Department of Education.
What section of that section do you find that this falls under? A test doesn't document the decisions of the organization or the office or its operations. It's a test.
It's utilized by
a teacher to determine a level of intelligence or ability of a student.
I would say that the test is part of the operations of the public school. This is one of the quintessential
rules. It documents the operation? Is that your view?
Certainly. They're grading these students' grades, and this amounts for 25% of their grades. This is the ultimate test for these students in their success with the organization. This is the final and quintessential goal of education. Are these students and their success, and it's being done all in a way that is not allowed for public scrutiny, and it's being done in a way that is the only facts in the record show that it is not a valid process.
The results of the testing procedure may document the operation, but the test itself doesn't do that, sir. You are wrong.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Wills, excuse me.
Is my time?
Yes, your time.
Okay,
yeah, your red light means your time is about. You'll have a little time for rebuttal. Mr. Stepaniuk, if you want to come back.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court.
Oh, I'll invite him back, Chief.
My name is Mark Stepaniuk. I'm counsel for the respondent, Cincinnati Public Schools. The issue in this case is whether or not the semester exams created specifically by the Cincinnati Public Schools of its own initiative and not in response to any legislative mandate is exempt from the public records law because compelling its disclosure would violate some other law, some other state law or some federal law.
Counsel, who owns, I'm sorry, the other side of the bench.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we've got a little sound confusion here. Who owns this test? I know there's a copyright by another organization. Do they own the test and you pay them to use it, or do you own the test,
no,
but
Honor,
they hold the copyright, or how does that work?
We own the test, Your Honor. WestEd, which is the company that assisted Cincinnati Public Schools in developing it, has copyrighted materials that it uses to help entities develop tests. Within the test, there would be copyrighted passages. You could have a question, for example, on the Great Gatsby, for example, and that would be copyrighted, and WestEd obtains those copyrights. But it's our test, and that's a key distinction because...
So the whole test is not copyrighted?
No, there's no copyright certificate, but it's our test. We own it. We developed it. We paid to have it developed for our purposes. And when the court looks at the Ray decision, what you'll see in the Ray decision is, and it was very important to this court in reaching its decision, was that that test was mandated by the General Assembly, and it was prepared specifically to fulfill its obligations, the ODE's obligations, and the State Board of Education's obligations under that statute. We have absolutely no statutory obligation to create this test. We don't know whether any other districts have created this test.
A question about what
yes,
you
sir.
Said, the content of the questions and their development. I hear that to mean that there's no other school or educational facility that has asked the exact same question about the Great Gatsby that you have on your test. Is that what you're saying?
No, Your Honor, we don't know that. And if what your question is would some other school be interested in our test?
No. You're saying that these questions were developed by a professional organization who may have a certain proprietary ownership of a question or the contents of that question.
See, Your Honor. No, we own the question, Your Honor.
Okay, and so how could you have an ownership over a way you ask a question about the Great Gatsby?
Because the if you're looking at trade secret law, the key there is whether or not that question, as developed by us, is of value to us, which would be of value to someone else. In the case of testing, you're talking about the student test taker. Because when you look at 1333-61, what it says is this something of value to the owner that draws a unique value by virtue of the fact that it's largely or generally not known to other persons who would have a value for it? And that would be the students in this case. In other words, the test,
You said the value is to the students?
No, Your Honor, the value is to us. But when you look at the statutory definition of trade secrets, what it'll tell you is that you're trying to determine whether or not the person asserting the trade secret has a value that is eroded because there would be some other person who would have an economic incentive to have that test. Surely every student would have an economic incentive to want to get copies of the test in advance of the test's administration.
Every student would have an economic incentive?
Oh, yes, Your Honor, in terms of their ability to save time, effort, and study simply the 40 or 45 questions that are administered rather than studying the subject matter, they would.
Mr. Stepanek, let me ask you a question that's not that doesn't bear on the legal issue here, but this case seems to cry out for some sort of mediation to me. Has there been any mediation attempted?
Yes, on multiple occasions there were, Your Honor.
In which the school board offered to, this is a situation where the parents want to have access to the test so that an expert can review the test to make sure it's not, well, I'll use the word credibility, which is not probably proper, but so there have been attempts to bring the parties together on that issue, to give him access or the person access temporarily to look at the exam and to make conclusions?
The case was initiated by a teacher at Cincinnati Public Schools. Right. And he's the relator, and there was mediation attempted through this court's mediation process.
I thought so, and that was not successful.
Right, we were been required to turn over the test.
That's why you're here.
Have these answers, or has this test been put out on the internet? Did I understand Mr. Wills correctly that it's available?
I think that's what he suggested, but that's not true, Your Honor.
Help me understand what is available on the internet in connection with this these tests.
The tests is taken in four subject matters. Each test contains 40 to 45 multiple choice questions. There's nothing on any intranet, not internet, but intranet regarding the multiple choice questions. With respect to the essay questions, of which generally there are four, on the district's intranet are scoring rubrics, and they're attached to the materials that the court has. They're not answers to the test. They're the things that a teacher who is going to grade the test should look for to determine whether or not an answer is superlative, above average, et cetera.
Well, Mr. Wills suggested that the teachers are teaching to the test. How is it that the teacher knows what questions are being asked so that teacher can teach to that test? I don't understand that argument.
It's because the argument is meritless in our position, Your Honor. The teachers are not teaching to the test. What they're doing, they don't even grade the test except the essay portion. The students fill out bubbles, and they're computer scored. And that's from the multiple choice part. The teacher's not required to score that, but somebody has to read an essay and determine what score to give to that essay. And what the teachers are given is the rubric, which tells them what would be a good answer, a superlative answer, that sort of thing. It's not the answer to the essay question. It's things for them to look at. They then read the essay, they compare it to the rubric.
Is that available on the intranet?
It is available on the intranet to the teachers who teach those subject matters. There's a lot of confusion here, I think, on whether or not any one of us could log on to the
computer. What about any one? I think we understand that. What about any of the students? If it's on the intranet, do students have access to the intranet?
If someone gave the student the 60-digit intranet address, they could do that. But I would submit that things that are password protected would be a lot less complicated to find if someone gave them that 60-digit address. It's just like a password.
Mr. Stepaniak, yes, if you were to Google the Cincinnati schools and try to get the information through a search engine, it would not come up.
No way. Nor is there a link on our webpage to the intranet. In fact, when you look at the address, you see what it is. It's StaffNet.
The subject matter being sought here is not the rubric answers that are there, but actually the questions on the 40 multiple choice or fill in the blank that are being machine scored.
Correct. And the material and the question, the material the student's asked to read, and then the question that's posed for the essay.
How do those questions on those multiple choice or whatever exams document the function of the school system or the office?
I don't believe they do, Your Honor. I mean, our contention would be that they wouldn't be records in that regard, and that they're not public records because the definition of public records specifically excludes things that are trade secrets. And to that point, if they are records, then every test prepared by every seventh grade teacher would be a record if they are going to utilize it. And a student could make a records request and get that test. And certainly any test that a teacher uses, you know, year after year.
Not necessarily. I don't think, counsel, why? I mean, here the argument is that there are all sorts of people, teachers and students, who have access to this test. One teacher giving an exam to his or her classroom is far different than that, isn't it?
Well, I would submit it's not different in the sense that if a student wanted to get that test in advance, he would access it through the Public Records Act. And if the court's point is that in this case it's distributed to multiple people, that's not determinative. Admission of the test or administration of the test is not publication. The court didn't even say that in Rea. What the court said in Rea was that because the test was developed to fulfill the specific mandate, when the test was developed, it doesn't say when it was administered, when the test was developed, they found that to be dissemination, which violated any trade secret they might have had. And of course, the court was dubious that there even could have been a trade secret.
So, Mr. Rea, you're saying Mr. Stepaniak, yes, you're saying that Rea, that Rea itself could be limited, and that we don't have to overrule it.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you need to overrule Rea. In fact, what our central contention is that this case is controlled by Carr. Rea involved a state statute that says thou shalt create this test. That test was created. The Rea majority found that when they created a test pursuant to legislative mandate, the development of the test put it into the, quote, educational domain, is the words they used, and that ended the trade secret issue, even though they were somewhat dubious at that point about whether trade secrets could exist. Now we know we can have trade secrets, and in this case is like the Carr decision, where you had a municipality developing a firefighter promotional exam. No one would argue that there's not a public interest in having competent firefighters, but that didn't end the debate. That didn't make the test a public record. And of course, they administered the test in the Carr decision. They gave it to the firefighters, and that didn't destroy its status as a trade secret.
My question still is, are you giving up on the argument that this is not a public record and going to the secondary argument of trade secret and copyright? Because that's where I want to find out. I mean, it sounds like you're arguing the exemptions to the public record, those two exemptions. But then I also hear you saying that Rea doesn't apply and this may not be a public record to begin with.
Sure. It's slightly semantical in that 149.43 says public record does not mean any of the following. Mm-hmm. And then it says a document that would violate some other law if it's released. So technically it's not a public record if it's a trade secret.
But you're relying on the trade secret portion? Is that what you're saying?
Well, that certainly would apply if the court were to find that it was a record. I think the justice's question was whether or not it was a record at all because it doesn't document the processes of the organization. And we'd say certainly not. Perhaps the grades do. but not the test questions themselves. But I think if you get past that and go into, okay, well, we find it a record, that's the, really the first part of the analysis. Now, is it a public record? Then this becomes definitional. Mm-hmm. And Ray, it couldn't be clearer when you read the decision that what impressed the court in Rea was that the legislature, A, told them to create this test, B, during the pendency of the case, amended the statute to say, and you shall release it, and the fact that it was disseminated broadly and outside of the control of the ODE. In other words, the ODE prepared the test, owned the test, and then gave it to people who weren't the ODE. We didn't do that.
Counsel, as you know, I dissented in OSU, but yes, OSU ma'am. Is currently the law. How does OSU distinguish from this fact pattern?
Oh, in several ways, Your Honor. First of all, in the Ray decision, there was a state statute that specifically required them to create that test. We have no such mandate here. Now, the realtor's brief says at various places, pages 3 and 5, that the Ray decision stands for the proposition.
I'm not talking about Ray. I'm talking about OSU.
The Besser case?
Yes.
Oh, well, the Besser case, I think, does apply in this sense, that the Besser decision laid out some factors to weigh when trying to determine whether or not a public entity has a trade secret. And I think when you apply those factors, you'll see that we pass them with flying colors. It's not known outside of the district. There's no evidence that it is. As far as being known inside the district, the teachers who developed the test, and that's an important fact which hasn't been highlighted yet today, that this test is developed by WestEd, but also by teachers of the district that are appointed by the curriculum council. And this test takes the place of the tests that individual teachers might otherwise administer.
There is also a potential penalty for unauthorized disclosure of this test, too, if I recall the argument that a teacher that did that would be subject to discipline by the school district for violating the
certainly rules. Your Honor, that really goes to the question of whether or not, you know, why we didn't have 13-year-olds sign confidentiality agreements. Well, they don't have the power to contract. And why we didn't have the teachers sign confidentiality agreements. Well, the record is completely clear that we designated them as secure test procedures. There's various memos that were sent to them that say these are secure test procedures. And if they were to violate that by telling a kid, you know, hey, here's the questions on the test, that we have something much better than a contract, we'd be able to terminate them. Your Honor, if I can briefly conclude, the alternative, I mean, if this test becomes is found to be a public record and we have to turn it over, its utility is now zero at that point, because it's not 14,000 questions, it's 40 in each subject matter plus some essays. And the alternative would be to have individual teachers prepare their own individual tests, destroying the district's interest in having some uniformity across the 18 high schools. And none of those tests prepared by those teachers are subject to chi-square analysis or validation studies or any of the other things that the relator would have us do in this case. And the writ should be denied.
Thank you, Mr. Stepanjuk. Mr. Wills, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Your Honor, just quickly, I would like to refer to the Ray case on the issue of these being public records. The court there said that the statute should be construed broadly to include anything a public office utilizes to carry out its duties and responsibilities. And therefore, tests that are used to evaluate students' skills are public records. That's what it says.
Thank
right
you,
there.
Mr. Wells. Yeah. I appreciate that.
And then I would like to say also, Your Honor, that in the record, you can find this grading matrix that's posted on the intranet, and the intranet address that is in that case, or that where they have access, are in these Bates numbers. But the pages are 00059 through about 95, and the address for them. The internet address that is available is right here on 00058, and it is not, anybody can type this in and find it. It's staffnet.cps, which students are using constantly. And then there's just one or two additional little menu options you have to go to get these tests. Now that is on 00058. That's the intranet address that's available to every person
is
in the United States.
Is that the test or the matrix that was used to judge the contents of the essay questions?
The matrix.
Okay.
But my point, Your Honor, is that the court has established that once knowledge is disseminated to the public and made known to the public, even through reverse engineering, that it loses its value as a trade secret.
But Mr. Wills, to the public, I mean, this is not a situation where you could go on your computer and just do a Google search and come up with this particular site.
Your Honor, the website is right here, http://staffnet.cpsk12.org. And anybody
can type that
in.
That's Google, a URL. That's the URL for the site. I understand that. And it's an intranet site. But the question is, could any member of the public go to the public library and do a search for the test, and it would come up?
You would gain access to this. Anybody who's smart enough to get through the 12th grade of Cincinnati Public Schools is smart enough to get on the internet and find this. I mean, that is absolutely true. It's right here. The students, teachers, everybody knows how to find this.
So if we type this in and we can't get it, then we're not smart enough to pass the Cincinnati schools.
Your Honor, we're talking about thousands and thousands of students over the years who have if they have such incentive that Mr. Stepanek says to get these tests, then they have the incentive to find this simple little address
of
on the internet.
Of some of us here, Counselor.
We're afraid to get on the internet because we got to be smarter than a fifth grader, you know. Figure it out.
Well, Counsel, so the matrix is available on the internet.
Yes.
Okay. But you want more than that. You want more than this matrix.
Yes.
Is that correct?
We want the tests.
Right. This is only a portion that, just to go back to the Great Gatsby analysis here, gives the teacher the bases that have to be touched by the student in order to successfully answer the question.
Yes.
Okay. And again, that information is not the trade secret. That's anybody who reads The Great Gatsby can answer those questions.
Well, I'm not so sure. I think here that the way this matrix is written out, that it's showing the roadmap to that process of questioning. And that's one of the big issues in this case is how do you take, you know, an abstract idea, Great Gatsby or something like that, and then how do you test it? And this grading metric shows how you test it. And so that shows that it's disseminated. And that's just part of the dissemination that is given to these tests. Because if Your Honor, I'd also direct you to 00097 through 98 of the record. And here is a colloquy between a teacher and the administrators. I admit it's a little bit difficult to follow here, but you can see here that the teacher is asking the administrator, how do we deal with these tests? If there are changes and develops and so on, how do we prepare our students? And the administrator right here is encouraging them to follow the context of the test, the process of the test, the structure of the test, and teach to the test. So they're encouraging them through their teaching process to disseminate the process.
Sum up, Mr. Wills?
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. Marshal, please adjourn court.